There's no mom manual. We all know that. So this is the place you want to be. To laugh, to learn, to share, to join. The moms couldn't be more different, but best friends, partners, and now family. Melissa is happily married.
Denise is happily divorced.
And they're parenting
worlds apart.
Their thoughts on many things, complete opposite.
Complete opposite.
Grab your friends and join the moms. Here's Denise and Melissa.
Hi, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's been such a crazy couple of weeks, I have to say, because I feel like, I mean, all good reasons, but we have been traveling so much for business, and it was spring break, and so we were away with the kids, and then I was away with Jeremy because he had a work trip, and then we were in LA last week for this amazing event with the cast of The Dangerous Book for Boys, which is a new show that airs on Amazon Prime Video, and we had a really incredible event in Los Angeles with Bryan Cranston and some of the other cast members, and you'll hear from them about why you should be watching this show with your children and some more interesting things that they had to say. But the point of the story is that we have, I think I've been home like 4 days this month, and it is exhausting.
I know. I'm sitting here as you're talking, like listening to you, but also making lists at the same time, because it's also our high season, or busy season, because Mother's Day is coming up. And so this is where we have pretty much events every day.
Which is so fun. It's good problems,
it's
as we
good.
Said. But
it's
we are
all good.
So, you know, when you have work, mm-hmm. for everyone who might be listening, and people have different busy times of the year, right? Some people are busy in the summer. Some people are busy around the holidays. But for us, it's Mother's Day.
That's right.
And it's like, it's so exciting, but it's exhausting.
It is, but you have to take it while you can. I mean,
right.
We're not turning down any business, and we're pretty open about, you know, our business and how it works, and it does operate at a maniacal pace because of the celebrities' availability. We posted something on Instagram when we were in Los Angeles talking about how, you know, we leap and we leap fast, and we have this village of our moms and friends.
Wait,
and family.
You have to go slower and explain what you're talking about, because even I don't know.
On our Instagram, which is the Moms Network, we post a lot of content, and we posted a picture of us out in Los Angeles, and we had talked about on our Instagram how we fortunately and unfortunately are at the beck and call of celebrity schedules, and that's how we monetize our business, one part of our business. And a lot of people had chimed in, and I got a couple emails saying thank you for being so open about your business and open about how you have to
hustle,
jump and leap and get on a plane at the last minute. And it is challenging. We love what we do, but you know, sometimes it would be nice if Hugh Jackman would be available to us now for November, and we would know that.
Right.
But we don't.
So we have to just kind of go with the flow, which, by the way, is hard for the kids.
Yes, it is.
So for my kids, they wind up staying at their dad's. You know, we typically have a normal schedule where they know they're with me certain days of the week, and they're with their dad on Wednesday nights and every other weekend. And, you know, especially now when the kids have sports all weekend, they're kind of back and forth with both of us because we just have to do what works with their schedules. But you know, you have a different situation where your husband is home when you're away, so you don't have to like juggle your kids around, but it works. And I feel lucky in a way that it does work, because I know a lot of parents out there who are divorced or single parents don't have the ability to change things up as much as I do. So it's a system that works for us, but it's hopefully okay for the kids, but it's definitely something that's on my mind when we travel, and we love our travel. You know, it's funny. I actually said to myself while we were in Los Angeles last week, I wonder if I should block my son from Instagram, because when we're away for work, we are having fun, and it is awesome. And I think it's great that the kids know that we also have fun and love our work, but there's a part of me that wondered if it's hard for him to see,
yes,
that we are having fun while we're working in a way, and we're posting pictures at dinners that are really fun, and it's a nice break for us, you know.
Well, it's also interesting to talk about the word work, right? So like, sometimes a lot of parents and people associate work with, I have to go to work, and it's
right.
Work, and the word work in itself, it's like work, and it's like But we have joy in our work.
We do.
And we celebrate our work. Maybe we should be doing more behind the scenes of the like grunts, you know, and like the legwork sometimes, because it is a monster to get an event up and running. But by the time we're there, it's like all the crap, excuse my French, and all of the back and forth and all of the amount of work is done.
It's nerve-wracking when you're hosting an event,
because
you worry that people don't show up. And
we don't post that.
Right.
So our kids aren't seeing the downsides and the nerve-wracking moments that we have. And they are following us because they miss us and we're all attached by social media now. But I don't get that reaction. My kids sometimes follow, sometimes they don't. But it is interesting, you know, when your kids see you when you're not with them on video.
Right. And having the best time. Mm-hmm. Right. And really
without them.
Without them. Right. So that's my thought of the day.
We'd love to hear from you if you're active on social media, which everyone is today. Are you posting content that your kids see when you're not with them? And do you ever get any, you know, negative responses or pushback from them about it? It would be interesting. Twitter @TheMoms, Instagram @TheMomsNetwork. I don't know. I wonder. I really wonder what my kids think sometimes when I post stuff of us together when I'm not with them.
Right.
I'll ask them later.
I mean, right. I mean, yeah, it's a good question. I don't have the answer yet, but I can tell you this. I'm going to continue to have fun and continue to love what I do. It's just a matter of, should they be seeing it while we're away? So that's I did block my son at one point last 2 years ago when I was going through cancer treatment, because I posted a lot and I just felt like it was maybe too hard for him to see. But, you know, there's an element of it all that I really do love them sharing my social media with them, but you know, it's maybe it's too much. I don't know.
And then you have to have the question of like, well, then they're thinking, well, what's mom doing if I can't see it?
Right.
And what is she hiding?
Right.
So I don't know if you can win here with this.
I know there's no win.
But think about it. Like,
so it's really just having the conversation.
But think about this. Think about when you were a teenager and your parents went out at night, right?
Oh, you hated it.
Wait, hold on. Let me finish my thought. Or when your mom went out for her Tupperware parties or wherever she was, you didn't see what she was doing.
Right.
So it must be very challenging for them.
I hated it. My mom would go every Tuesday night, like with my dad to work at wherever he was. And I knew it. And I hated it. I would stand at the door crying.
See?
Don't leave. I know. It's so awful.
And then they leave. And then you can go turn on the TV and see everything mommy and daddy is doing without you.
Oh, it's terrible.
See?
I know. It's
so
really
are we blocking
awful.
Our kids? I'm going to block my kids. I don't know. For some reason, that just hit me.
I know. It's really awful. So we'd love to hear from you. Email us.
Look moms. At my face.
I know. I'm telling you, it's a really powerful conversation. We'd love to hear from you. moms@themoms.com. Please email us. We'd love to hear from you.
I am blocking my kids.
I know.
I don't know why that just hit me.
I know.
Like,
it's so awful. But we really would. It's a great conversation. We'd love to hear from you, and we can do a whole show on it next week and hear from all of you. So now we're going to go to Bryan Cranston and the cast of The Dangerous Book for Boys. As many of you know, it was a best-selling book series. We hosted
Bryan Cranston.
I know.
Hello, Breaking
like
Bad. Props
Tony,
up.
Oscar. We spoke to him and to Aaron Hayes, who plays the mom, to Gabriel Bateman, and to Kyan Zelensky. They play Wyatt and Liam on the show, and we just really had so much fun with them. That first of all, the kids were so wise.
Oh my
beyond
God.
Their years, and there was just a really beautiful connection between all of them. And my favorite thing that they said is, you know, there's so many shows that you can't watch as a family today. And Bryan Cranston is the producer and one of the creators of the show. And
take a listen.
Mamarazzi is a live town hall event series that provides moms and media with the access to celebrities. Listen for yourself.
Listen for yourself.
Here's Denise and Melissa.
So Bryan, why did you decide to take this book and bring it to life as this incredible, fun, and creative show?
Well, our studio here had the book under contract, and they offered it to us to find out if we can come up with a storyline that might be able to fit the title of this best-selling international book. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't figure it out. I just tried and tried and tried, and nothing was coming. And so I let it go. And as it often is, when you let go of something that you're desperately trying to figure out, oftentimes it comes to you. And so I was doing a play in Boston, and I was running along the Charles River in Boston. And out of nowhere came this lightning bolt that hit me. It literally stopped me. And I went, oh, wait a minute. And what came to me was the configuration that you saw, the family structure, what happened, why the dad wrote the book, that he was whimsical and in every way. And I ran back home and I called James Degas, my producing partner, and pitched him on the idea. He liked it. We called the brothers, we called Sony, and we pitched the idea. And that's how it started. Then I got together with Greg Mottola, and we fleshed it out even more. It's been a labor, but one of true love. We've so enjoyed this journey.
So explain the, hi, I'm Melissa, nice to meet you. Hi. Okay. So, and I do hear people get their best ideas when they're exercising, like something happens with
the
endorphins.
I'll be spinning and we're business partners and I'll message her and I'll be like, it just happened. It just happened. But I think it's such a nice message for the kids who are in this room also, because I love what you said, because sometimes when you just put it away, it comes to you if you're not thinking too hard.
Yeah.
And there are so many great messages. My favorite is when you tell everyone to get off their devices. That's like the best message. But I wanna find out, because you're a mom. We were talking out there.
Yeah. No, I'm a...
Oh. No.
This might be for
up
me.
Two. And I think what's nice is that, you know, there's very little programs you can all watch as a family. And I think that's a really great thing to do these days, because families are going in so many different directions, and that for you to be a mom and to be able to watch this with your kids is really fantastic.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's especially nice because most of the stuff I've done, my kids haven't been able to watch. It's more adult content. But then even some family stuff or shows that they watch, you know, it skews one of two ways. It skews either all kids and the grown-ups don't show up, or they're kind of dummies and to be lied to and avoided, or it's all the grown-ups and the kids show up for a line or two.
They're used as props.
And they're props. They're pretty much just so that you say you have a family. So coming across this project where it is truly a family show and every character is given depth and story, and treated like our own families, where each individual is so unique and so important and has their own stuff going on. It was refreshing.
And Gabriel and Kyan.
Kyan.
He already yelled at me for that one.
There you go. Oh, that's a good one. So what is it like for you guys to work on the show? And any of the things that are in the book, have you actually taken home with you to try to play with your friends?
Yeah, I mean, working on this project was such a different experience than anything else I've ever done. It's Bryan Cranston, everybody. But everybody on this project, whether it was Aaron or Ryan or Gabe, we all like created this inside family together that it just felt so natural the entire time. I mean, like this, going to work every single day was a privilege, and we was just like, we just fell into it. It was like just another day. It was amazing, yeah.
Also, to speak to anything that we took home, I think a big message from the show that I took home was be yourself, because I think a lot of kids, especially in teenagers, struggle with trying to become someone else to fit in and to have people to like them. But it's really important to just make sure you're always being yourself.
I love that. Wow. That is so special coming from you.
Don't get too smart.
And what about you, Bryan?
What about me?
Well, I mean, how do you go from, I mean, I imagine today you don't have to audition, but at some point, I would imagine that you did. So
yeah.
How did you handle that? And do you use the rejection to boost you to the next?
Well, it's a longer story. And I actually wrote it in the book. I got to a point about 25 years ago or so where I realized I was doing the audition process completely wrong.
I thought I was going in to try to get a job. And what I realized is that I should go in to do a job, create a compelling character, present it to them, and walk away. And once I flipped that in my brain, everything started to work for me. And the other great thing was not to focus on anything outside of your purview. So any other person's decision-making was not part of my psyche. I never thought of it. I did what I did, and you let it go.
Yeah, there's a teacher I had a long time ago had said, don't view it as a time to get it. Do it as an opportunity to get a couple moments to do what you love. Yeah. So create this full life. Do it. Come in. Yeah, give that to them. And then if they want to, if that's what they're looking for.
If they want more of that
if
love.
If they want more.
Then they'll let you.
Then I'm with UTA.
Yeah. No, in creating the show and being part of the show, what do you hope families and kids will learn or take away?
Well, I wanted to create a show that families could watch together, that wasn't snarky, that wasn't cynical, that was filled with whimsy and love and pain and struggle and things that we all relate to. And yet there's a nucleus of a family there. You can feel it, and you know that it's wrapped around love. And if as long as they maintain that, they'll be able to weather the storm. In the other episodes that hopefully you'll see and write about, that there are different themes that we use. But in every episode, there is a typical family problem that you would recognize. And also in every episode, we have those fantasy sequences where the answer or possible solution to that problem is in the fantasy. And whether or not Wyatt is able to assimilate that and apply it directly depends. So we wanted to make it very honest. And it's not like, oh, I have a problem, let's go here, get the problem, oh, there, nah, easy. It's not easy. It's him using his fantasy life to cope. And as I think you saw, this is the tone, this is the theme of our show. And so hopefully you had some laughs and you may have shed a tear a little bit. I always do. I always shed a tear when I see this going on. Maybe that's just me, but it's been a true love, and so I'm just really proud of it.
Anybody else have a question that we missed? Okay, go ahead.
I was just wondering, Brian, when you write something like this, how do you stay away from making it all about boy stereotypes and create well-rounded boys who might be artistic? Or, you know, I think that was one of the great things about your character was that he was kind of rounding out the crew of video game lovers. But is that something you kept in mind in every episode, or was that a thread that you thought about when you're creating it?
Well, generally, I wanted to create an environment where we are helping the next generation of boys make a transition into becoming healthier, more respectful men, to be honest with you.
Woo.
So that's what we're hoping to do. So in so doing, we want to embrace boyhood and the rambunctious knuckleheads that they are and say, go play, go crazy, wrestle, do the things that you're naturally wired to do. But also, think about this and possibly that might address the softer side of their sensibilities, and hopefully at this age and younger, and with the help of families, start to groom them to become those men that are respectful and decent. Because I think that's what we're lacking right now in our society. It's missing.
Why do you think so? What's happened? Social media? What do you think's going on that's making this so
people talking
disruptive and a lack of chivalry?
I don't think social media has helped. This was
a room full of social media moms. But we do it.
Well, I don't think it's helped because you cannot use social media as a replacement to real interpersonal relationships. It can be an addendum. These are wonderful tools, magnificent, amazing tools, but they are tools. And if you misuse the tool, shame on you. And then, and you know when it, when you can't have a moment away from this, you know that there's a problem. If you can't look at the glorious nature of a tree or something and, yeah, and be satisfied with that for the one beat that you have downtime.
I always think about, even just parenthood in general, sometimes when I'm stressed or I'm annoyed or something, and I want to just like have some moments to myself, which I get, you know, look at him. But I have to remind myself, this is their childhood. This is their childhood. And this is it. This is the only one they get. And if there's too much of that, what are their memories going to be like with their friends when they're like, remember when we just played on that app for hours on end every play date? Wasn't that the great, like, yeah. No, those aren't that's not the stuff.
Right.
That's not the magic. It's getting out there. It's taking a walk and going for a run and looking at the trees and building something and creating something in your mind. That's what the magic is. Those are the memories.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of this series, yeah, the imagination.
And that was Bryan Cranston and the cast of The Dangerous Book for Boys. And if you haven't watched it yet, it is on Amazon Prime Video. I watch it with my kids now, and it really is so incredible. And by the way, the message of what Bryan Cranston said about social media is sort of on target with what we were talking about, that don't misuse the tools. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really for a specific purpose, and you know, it doesn't replace personal connections. So remember that.
And imagination.
And imagination.
Because the minute I hijack my kids' devices, they're creative and they're playful, and it's they're just such crutches. I hate it. But anyways, we're moving on now to some awesome guests.
We are, and this is right up our alley because we consider ourselves work-wise. These people are actually really family, and it's the family that runs Echo Designs. Many of you probably see their products online at Amazon.com, or they have a partnership with Ralph Lauren. But Lynn Roberts and her family are now running the business, and we have so many questions. It's been passed down for generations within the family, and I just think they have a lot of wisdom to share about running a business.
Hi.
Hello. Hello, it's Denise and Melissa from The Moms. So we have Dorothy, Lynn, and Meg,
right,
from Echo Design. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's going to be a little hard, so I just need you guys to take turns. But I just want to say, first of all, thank you for joining us. And second of all, I love that you have a family business lunch every Monday. Is that how the business keeps going, and how do you do it?
Well, we've been in business 95 years, and we're very lucky that our children, so both Lynn and her brother are in the business, and then Stephen's wife, Meg, is the head designer for all our home products. And now we have one grandson in the business, and he's been here for a few years. And so it's wonderful for all of us to have each other to be with and to collaborate with, and we could say anything to each other. And we have a lot of other great people in the company, but you know, there are five of us here now. So
can you tell our listeners a little bit about Echo Designs and how you started this unbelievable business?
They will tell you that. You want me to tell the story?
If you want.
That's Dorothy speaking. And
I'll do that, and then I'll let them talk. My parents, my father was a salesman of Valens, and they did not pay him commission. Two companies. They failed. So he was getting married to my mother, and in 1923, and it was September 27th, and he says, as long as we're going to get married, at the same time we're going to start a business. So that's how they started it. Just the two of them incorporated the business. And
so they got two licenses on that day, their marriage license and they incorporated the business.
But what hit me was their first three customers were Saks Fifth Avenue, Marshall Field, and iMagnon. iMagnon was owned by Federated, bought by Federated, but they were like Neiman Marcus or Bergdorf Goodman.
So how did you build the business to change with the times? Because I know when your parents started the business, right, there was no internet. So now you have continued to grow and your business has continued to change with the times because so much of what you do now is online. So how have you been able to make that shift, I think, in a time when a lot of businesses are really changing how they're doing things, sales?
It really is remarkable because we have gone to grow from a very small company in 1923 to where we are today with the internet. There have been so many changes along the way. It's way beyond just the technology, which has been enormous, because we've changed not only what our products are. We started out with just a scarf, and we were one company. We were Echo Scarves. And then we grew into being a multi-brand company. We started doing custom design scarves for a lot of retailers and a lot of museums. And so we expanded into having a few other labels. We then expanded into doing wraps and cold weather, hats and gloves, and all, and then beachwear and swimwear, I mean, on bags and whatever. And then we also expanded 25 years ago into the home. And during all that time, we've had to continue to change. But what we said last time was that what's really remarkable is to have one person, one family, to have Dorothy be at 89, be able to take this company and not only hold on to what we have, our strengths, our history, our focus on quality, I will, and then, I'm sorry, something was just pointed out to me that I just lost my train of thought. But then to be able to be open-minded enough to, and flexible enough to be able to change with the times and embrace all that's happening with the world and with the internet has been just a remarkable accomplishment.
And congratulations to you for being able to do that. What advice, if you had, if you were talking to young entrepreneurs who are starting the business with their family members, what advice would you give to them about working together with their family?
You know, there are definitely families that do not get along. Luckily, we all get along really, really well. We're all in different areas, so it's not that we see each other all day long or every day. We could be on different floors. We all have a mutual respect for each other and feel confident in the job that each person is doing. So I think if you can work with your family, it's wonderful. I mean, it's so nice coming in every day and being able to see my family members.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a shared passion for what it is that you're trying to accomplish has been wonderful. I'm in the position of working with my husband, my mother-in-law, and my son now,
and my
sister-in-law, of course, but that's, you know, and so it's a really special position for me to be in, but I came into it originally I worked in the company before I was a family member, so I'm allowed to gush over this amazing family because even before I was a family member, these are very special people, and they not only embrace our true family, but they treat the entire company like an extended family, and the values that they all embrace for the family is something that they just embrace as people and for the relationships, whether it's the employees, our resources, our customers, our consumers. It's a very special family.
Well, thank you for sharing your wisdom. We are so thrilled to hear your story, a little bit about it. And for more, everyone can go to echodesign.com. Okay, so every week we like to end the show with the Mom's Dear Homework. And I have something this week that I think is helpful. I don't know that I have fully subscribed to it yet, but I'm learning. I had a situation the other day where I was really moody, and I what came out of it for me is that I think sometimes it's okay to be moody and to not beat yourself up over it, because as mothers, we are working, we are busy, we are coordinating our kids' schedules, we are doing everything we can for everybody else all of the time. And mm-hmm. though I do give myself a lot of free time and things for myself, I'm never moody. And I was so moody. And then I got moody that I was moody.
Mm.
Right? So it was like moody, moody, moody.
Mm.
And I'm still even thinking about it today. It's like 3 days later. So as I think about it today, I think that it's okay to give yourself permission to have an off day and to not beat yourself up over it.
Mm-hmm.
And to acknowledge it and to admit it. And I even admitted it to the person I was moody to. I said, I'm sorry, I'm being moody. I just need to be moody right now.
I love that.
Yes.
See, I'm moody all the time, so.
I'm never moody. I am not a moody person.
No,
I'm really not.
No, and good for you. Yeah, you should take that moodiness and own it.
And it felt good to admit it out loud while it was happening. So maybe that's what you need to do so that the lasting effect doesn't last.
Yes,
you know, if you tell people in the moment,
yes,
I understand that I'm being moody,
good.
But I need to be moody at this moment.
I love that. Okay, here's my homework. And it's kind of similar, but, you know, when we have a free moment, we think that we, you know, should clean out the kids' closet and, you know, do this and do that. And why am I sitting down? This weekend, I laid down and did nothing for like an hour. And all these things in my head were like, well, it's springtime coming and you need to put the shorts in the girls' room and you need to clean out the closet and move the, you know, and I was like, you know what? Excuse my French. Screw it. I'm going to lay down because I'm tired right now.
Yes.
And mom's going to put on Netflix right now for 1 hour on a gorgeous afternoon.
Or Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. And I had to coach myself that it was okay to lay down for an hour.
Yes, it is.
So here's to your moodiness and here's to me napping.
There you go.
Thank
you for listening.
Hell yeah for mom's homework.
Yes. And please follow us on Instagram at The Moms Network. And we will be back next week. We want to hear from you.
Yes, we do.
So please reach out, moms@themoms.com. And we'd love
Say
to share your stories.
moms@themoms.com.
Have a great week, even if you're moody.